You know, summer is upon us. That's right. And one of the things that we like to do when summer's here is keep our children occupied, productively occupied. And so a lot of you know that we have an ongoing relationship with United Way, and I want to share with you something that they're going to be doing this summer. They've done it before, and they're doing it again. Keeping our children engaged. They're in partnership with the Augusta Richmond County Public Library, and they're going to be putting on their second annual United for Reading. It's a summer reading kickoff book bash. They're going to be hosting a book bash on Friday, June 8th, from 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. at the Salvation Army Croc Center, lower field of Chaffee Park, located at 1765 Broad Street. United for Reading, Summer Reading Kickoff Book Bash. This is going to take place June 8th, Friday, June 8th. That's right around the corner, so you might want to mark your calendars now. Don't treat this as though you have, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks before it happens. This is just around the corner, so mark your calendars. Friday, June 8th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Salvation Army Croc Center. And it's going to be outdoors at the lower field of the Chaffee Park. And again, that's on Broad Street, 1765 Broad Street. So we definitely want you to be getting your children involved. Plan to pay them a visit, because this will be a great way to keep your children engaged during the summer. Remember, a lot of times our children lose a little bit of what they've learned during the academic year if their brains are not engaged during the summer. So, sure, let them take a break, a couple of weeks or so. But don't let them take the whole summer off. No, that's too much time off. Yeah, let them have a couple of weeks, but then get them engaged again. And remember, you go out there, see if you can find some math books, and if you don't find them there, head to the library, go somewhere. Hey, if you want to, you just want to spend a little bit more money, you're saying, hey, this would be a great way to invest in my child or in my children or my niece, my grands. Take them to the bookstore as well. If you don't find what you're looking for at this book bash, get what you do find at the book bash, and then if you need to, go to the store too. Take your children with you. Find some good math books, because we want our children to stay on top of not only their reading, but their arithmetic as well. All right, so that's what we're going to be doing. How many of you have ever said, you know what, I really wish my father were alive right now. I could ask him about, and whatever it is that's been on your mind that has you really wanting guidance. You're thinking, man, if only my father were here now. Or maybe you said, you know, I'm almost certain my mother could give me some words of wisdom in navigating me through this situation. But your parents are gone. Maybe they died 10 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. But right now, you're wanting their guidance. How many of you have ever had this thought come to your mind? You know what? If I had asked them about this question before they died, I'd have the guidance now that I need. Well, this Saturday at 1 o'clock, you'll hear a conversation that I'm having with Mother Susie Hopkins and her daughter, Hallie Bateman, as they dealt with that very issue. Hallie decided she did not want to wait until her mother died and then found herself in a position where she was saying, what would mother advise? What would mother recommend? What would my mother say I should do about this situation? She got in touch with her mother and said, Mom, I want you to sit down with me so that we can talk about what I should do about any number of situations once you're gone. Their book is entitled, What to Do When I'm Gone. And you'll hear that conversation this Saturday at 1 o'clock on 1550 AM, The Voice. And I want you to remember, If for whatever the reason you're not able to join us when we're live on 1550 AM, The Voice, WTHB, be sure to join us online at speakingwith.com. Simply click on the link that's labeled Listen Online at your convenience. And you can listen to whichever programs you want to listen to that we have recorded there at your convenience. You simply click on the link Listen Online at your convenience, and then bring up the program that you want to hear. If you use your smartphone, you can also use your search bar. And using that search bar, you can type in the first and or last name of the guest you want to hear. If it's a topic that was solo, or maybe you don't remember the guest name at all. Maybe it was just me talking solo. You remember some of the key words of the topic or the title. You can type in that keyword, put that in your search bar, and it will bring up the programs that include that keyword or that name. Make the search a whole lot faster and easier. But even if you don't have the search bar capability, you want to listen on your computer, on your laptop, on your desktop, you can still do it. Speakingwith.com. And listen to the programming of your choice. We have it broken into segments, and so you can listen to a segment at a time, making it very, very convenient. So we will also take a look at something that I want you to join me for. How many of you are saying, you know what? I really could use some peace. There is so much drama in this world. Keep hearing about ISIS and keep hearing about the threat of nuclear war that may be initiated by Donald Trump or by Kim Jong-un. There's madness in the house. I need some peace. Well, starting this Sunday, we're going to start looking at how things go when we are in pursuit of shalom. Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. We're going to look at it on a number of different levels. So I definitely invite you to join me for that search, that pursuit, the pursuit of shalom, the pursuit of peace. We'll definitely have a discussion on Monday, Memorial Day, about Memorial Day. What is Memorial Day really about? We're going to hear a little girl sing a very, very rousing patriotic song and more. And on next Friday, June 1st, we'll be joined by Dr. Craig Albert as he brings some more awesome political insights into play. We would normally have him the last Friday of the month, but we weren't able to do that this Friday. And so he'll be with us next Friday, June 1st. The first Friday in June, which is the first day of June. Friday, June 1st at 1 o'clock, Dr. Albert bringing the political insights to us. So be sure to join us then as well. Okay, guns. Taking a look at guns, the incidents of death when some of our law enforcement officers come into contact with some of our other citizens. I said other citizens because our police officers are citizens as well. Here's the thing. Check this out. I think it's important for us to be aware of both sides of this. Reduced gun ownership would almost certainly mean safer conditions for police. And that's important because more than half of the people killed by police in 2016 were armed. And many of those who were armed were actually exchanging fire with officers when they were shot. Reduced gun ownership. Again, try not to just let your default mode, your default reaction be anger when you hear someone talk about the possible benefits of reduced gun ownership. How many of you become irate when you hear someone talking about the possible benefits or the probable benefits of reduced gun ownership. But you were very, very silent, even within your own souls, when you've heard about the numerous mass killings with the use of guns. Deadly mass attacks by domestic terrorists would decline. A 2017 study of more than 2,800 attacks in the US, Canada, Western Europe, Australia, and New Zealand revealed that guns are by far the most lethal way to kill as many people as possible, even more than explosives or vehicular strikes. Guns were used in just 10% of the attacks, but they accounted for 55% of the deaths. In the US, terrorists also prefer guns. Out of 16 lethal terrorism-associated attacks since 9/11, out of 16 lethal, deadly incidences that occurred in death, terrorism-associated attacks since 9/11, all but two involved firearms. Even building basic stuff like a pipe bomb is hard, according to Risa Brooks, who's a professor of political science at Marquette University. By making it more difficult to get access to a lethal weapon, you're making it harder for terrorists to engage in violence. Over the coming weeks, we'll look some more at probable benefits of reduced gun ownership. But when we come back, let's resume our discussion of what's going well